Turn to Revelation chapter 12. You know, we're in Psalms so long, it just surprises me. I'm already at 12. We only got a few more chapters. We'll be done with this, amen. But I hope you're enjoying it. The more I read in the Revelation, the more amazes me what's happening in this world. Isn't it mind-boggling? Just what happened last week with the Syria and what our new president said. That's enough of that. You're not gonna gas and kill babies and people that are innocent people. You're gonna answer us. And so a lot of things are changing in this world. And pray for our military. I'm sure that there's going to be a. How long does it get you through basic now? 6 months? Now? 8 weeks? Okay, 8 weeks. 2 months. Okay, so it's going to take them a little bit to get going, but it's going to go. You can hear it all over. It's starting. They're starting to build up, and I thank God for that. I love the military. Amen. I do. I really. I love the military, man. So, praise the Lord. And all that, I hope they move into Melbourne so they can come to Heritage Baptist Church. I like that, amen. All right. If you're taking notes tonight, I would title this Chapter 11, Wonders. W-O-N-D-E-R-S. Wonders. Wonders. Woo. Boy, wonders. Let's stand and read it tonight. 17 verses. And there appeared a great wonder, thank you, amen, in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Now, I'm going to just pull over and park for a minute. When I used to go to, what was the name of the Catholic hospital?
Columbus
Hospital. You'd go downstairs, and there's a statue downstairs. And in that statue was a woman that had a 12 crowns, crown that had 12 stars on it. And she had her foot on the world, on the moon, and she had her foot on a serpent. And, of course, the Roman Catholics tell you that that is Mary. It's not Mary. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just not. That's not. But, anyway, that's how they picture that. That's what they get out of here. And they try to get us to believe that. Anyway. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 crowns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up upon unto God to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You wonder why you don't have, why you have problems, amen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that it was that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. May God have the blessing of the Word of God. He always does. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to see these wonders that you have for us. Lord, it's an amazing thing what's going on here. Well, Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we look into these things, and that our lives would be changed to realize that this is real things. This is real stuff. And Lord, I pray we'd be very careful that we would engage the responsibility that we have in our lives to tell others about you, that they would not have to go through these troubles and heartaches, as these will, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wonders means a sign or a symbol. So you see the chapter deals largely with symbols. It's a wonderful thing that God speaks to us in symbols. He tells us so, and that's nice to know that. We don't have to figure it out. He says, this is going to be like, these are symbols of. Therefore, we can follow our rule of taking the revelation literally. Unless God tells us otherwise, that it is a symbol or a wonder or a sign. The woman mentioned here in the verse in Isaiah, Israel. Israel is often called the woman in the scriptures. We will also notice that she has on her head a crown with 12 stars. Probably the stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the woman is Israel. Verse 2. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. You know, God promised Israel a child who would become a Messiah. And all through the years of Jewish history, the Jews have looked for the coming child, Jesus. And she's in travail, looking for the birth of her promised child. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the prophet says, unto us, or unto Israel, a child is born. And then you look at verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. I noticed some of your kids are playing with some of these dragons and things. Somebody came up and showed me, hey, preacher, look at my dragon the other day. And I thought, oh boy, that's chapter 12, amen. But anyway, as soon as the promise the child is given, there appears a dragon. And that dragon appears so he'll destroy that child. And who is this dragon? dragon, Satan, the old devil. And notice he is powerful, and he has crowns and horns upon his head. Horns in the scripture always symbolize kingdoms, power. And so Satan has his kingdom in this earth, and we know that. We see that all the time. We just see, like Syria. Boy, oh boy, if you don't think that that country is ruled by Satan, I don't know what. You know, some of you other people have been in other countries and see the dastardly things that go on in those countries. And Satan is ruler. He's the ruler of this world. Amen. Verses 4, the Bible said, and his tail drew a third part of the stars to heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to discover her child as soon as it was born. And notice that dragon is standing to try to destroy Christ, the Christ child. Remember, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and the angel came and told Joseph, you better get out of here and go to the wilderness, go off to Egypt, because they're coming to kill that baby. And remember the story about how that they killed every child that was 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. You remember that Herod was used by the devil to try to destroy Christ. And, of course, miraculously and perfectly, God got his son out of there. God marvelously protected the Christ child, sending Joseph and Mary to Egypt to stay for Herod's death, King Herod's death. Number 5 we have, and he brought forth a man-child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and his kingdom. First, the words of the verse almost fit exactly the words that spoken by the gospel concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. And she brought forth a son. Israel gave us our Savior. And we should be eternally grateful for the Jews, for the one who they gave us. They also gave us the Word of God. The Word of God is written by Jewish people. And God told the Jewish people, you're to keep that, the Bible, straight. Keep it perfect. Amen. Second truth of the verse is that Jesus rules all nations with a rod of iron. The prophecy of the 1,000 years that Christ is going to be on the earth. And with the saints, we're going to go back. We're going to be ruling with them. You who have trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, someplace, somewhere, you'll be part of the official company of this world. You'll be ruling. Amen. Some will be judges. Some will be whatever, you know. And kind of interesting. So the more you do here for the Lord now, the better off, the better rank you'll get, they tell us. I don't understand that, but God knows. And our faithfulness here means a lot. Remember, he said that we're at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be at the Bema seat. We'll be judged for the things we've done good and the things we've done bad here. And he said some will be judged for their wood, hay, and stubble, other gold and silver and precious stones. And so it really behooves us to work as hard as we can to serve God the best way we can while we're here. This is just not a riding the leaf down the river. Amen. Our responsibility is to tell people about Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to live a godly life. Our responsibility is looking for Jesus coming. Our responsibility is to do what the Master tells us to do. Amen. You know, that reminded me when I was a kid, we used to have this pump. And you could pump it all day, nothing, but you'd have to put a little prime it. My daddy said, you had to prime it, put a little water in there, and make those cork, what were they called, cork? Cork what? Flanges? I don't know. But they'd soak that water up, and then all of a sudden, man, the little water just come right out. So that's how it was when I said amen. And, amen. Amen. All right. Thank the Lord. All right. Another statement, her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. And of course, this deals with the resurrection. We're enjoying this Sunday that we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ raising from the grave. And we do not serve a dead Savior. We serve a Savior that can save us. We serve a Savior that can take us up someday when we pass away or when the trump of God shall sound. We serve a living Savior today. And what a wonderful thing. Amen. And 40 days after He rose from the grave, He went to heaven. And the Bible talks about her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Deals with that resurrection, that ascension of Jesus Christ. Then verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Notice that the child was taken into heaven. Mother fled. The Jews have been, of course, as you know, they've been scattered. They're scattered all over. Ever since Jesus went back to heaven to be with the Father, they're all over the place. They're just Jews all over. But there are a lot of Jews in Brazil. A lot of Jews in Brazil. The Brazilian government allowed the Jews to come to Brazil during World War II. Many Jews came to Brazil. I have a friend of mine who's a missionary down there, and he deals with the Jews in Brazil. A lot of them came. A lot of them came to Brazil, and a number of them have been saved in Brazil. But they got out of there. And Brazil and Dominican Republic, but only two places allowed the Jews to come. America wouldn't even let the Jews come in. How terrible. Notice also in verse, this mentions 1,260 days, which is the, that's dividing the 7 years of tribulation into half. It's wonderful how God knows what He's talking about, amen? And it's sure nice, amen. Verse 7, and there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the devil, and the dragon fought and his angels. There's war taking place in heaven. And the end of the first 3.5 years of tribulation period, devil is thrown out of heaven with his angels. I don't understand this. Do you understand this? I don't understand it. But I do know in Job, the Bible said that the Lord said to Satan, said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. Seeking, you know, just walking to and fro, you know. What's he doing? He's trying to bring accusations. And he's called the accuser of the brethren. Here's the problem with that, okay? He didn't have to go very far for me to accuse me of something that I did. He doesn't have to lie about me. He doesn't have to lie about you. Satan comes to God and says, you know what your boy's doing down there? You know what your little girl's doing down there? That's sad. Isn't that sad? How much hurt my Heavenly Father who was willing to take all to the cross, my sins, and I'm running around here on planet Earth acting like an idiot, not serving God, not doing what God tells me to do, not saying what I'm supposed to do, not paying my tithe, not being faithful to my church, not being faithful to soul winning. And Satan said, hey, you know about your boy down there, you know the one you saved by your blood? He must rub it in pretty bad, amen? Huh? That ought to behoove us to live a godly life. It ought to. Satan comes up and says, say, Christ, this is what your son said. He used your name in vain. He cursed and he swore. Hey, Savior, so-and-so claims to be your daughter. And she's so mad at her other daughter, who they both claim to be Christians. They're fighting and acting like, yeah. How that must crush the Savior. How many of you ever had a son or daughter and your neighbor comes and tells you what your child did? They accused your son of what they did. And unfortunately, it was true. What'd that do to you? First of all, you want to kill him. I mean the kid, not the person that told you. And then you want to kill the person. But anyway, you know how that crushes us? That crushes us. Are you telling me my son did that? Yes, he did. I was at a church. They rented the church. And I happened to be walking in the auditorium, and two high school kids come running and ran across with dirty feet on the every chair of that front row. And I went, ha! I said, what are you doing? I'm thinking, if I'm the pastor of this church and I'm renting somebody else's building, it's a church building. And I went up to him. I said, listen, guys, you're old enough, no better than that. Would you do that at home? One kid says, yeah. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, and his angels. There was war takes place, and the 3.5 years of tribulation. The devil is thrown out of heaven with his angels. The reason that the devil had access to heaven now is found in verse 10. He is accusing the saints or the brethren. The word fought means he declares war. The dragon fought and his angels. They declared war. Verse 8. And prevailed not. Thank God that's a not there. Amen. Prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You ought to be shouting glory to God. Amen. The word prevailed not means they conquered not. They were unable to do what they wanted to do. And Satan will lose this war and will be conquered and will not access us anymore. But if this is 3.5 years, that means Satan is in heaven. When the trump of God shall sound, then Christ arise, and we will remain, shall be caught up. That means we're going to be up there when he's up there. Oh, by the way, you are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot touch you. Thank God for that. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The word cast means throw. It's kind of like this idea that you watch the baseball player, and if you're playing baseball, sometimes you'll hear when he lets go of that ball, you better be swinging if she's going 100 mile an hour. Cast, throw. He's literally thrown out of heaven, thrown into the earth. Look at verse 10 now, very interesting. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our Lord God day and night. No wonder we don't have peace. No wonder we're always in a mess. Thank God we got the Holy Spirit to praise for us. Amen. Thank God we have Lord Jesus Christ that loves us and cares for us. And every time the accuser, listen now, every time the accuser comes before God and says, one of our names, Jesus is sitting where? At the right hand of the Father. And he says, Father, by my blood, he's forgiven. That ought to be a happy dance going on someplace. No, you can't bring that to him. You can't bring that charge to him, God, because I've covered it with the blood. I've washed him thoroughly. I'm sure the Lord kind of takes a sigh every time he has to say that because he knows we ought to be behaving ourselves. Amen. But he said, Lord, hey, it's already taken care of. The blood has taken care of it. Some people just don't know what the power of the blood is. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, precious is that flow. The power of the blood. That's why all of us, I remember my wife, my dad and her were having a little conversation. And he said this, said, Marcia, why were you always so good? My father-in-law said that to Marcia. And this is what she said, Daddy, I didn't want to cause you any problem in the ministry. I love you, Daddy. And I didn't want to cause any problems to you in the ministry. Boy, I wish that we would love Jesus like my wife used to love her daddy. I see a lot of preachers' kids, missionary kids, evangelist kids, cause their daddy's ministry terrible, terrible heartache. That girl loved her daddy so much, she didn't want to cause any problem. Then she met me. Verse 11. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb, and by the words of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. I think there's three things here that will teach us how that we can resist Satan. Number one, we're overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. The devil does not mind when we preach on good works, preach on good life, preach on help, and help the poor. But he hates the blood and those that preach the blood. He hates the Christian who pleads the blood. Every once in a while, things will go bad. And I'll say, Dear God, in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan. That's biblical. That's biblical. You got something going on you can't figure it out, just say it. I was just talking to a friend of mine down the Crow Agency. And he was telling me about this man that is in jail. And he said, there's just something dark in me. This is a Crow Indian. There's just something dark in me. And he said, that darkness talks to me. He said, I don't understand it and I don't like it. I believe he killed his girlfriend because the darkness told him to kill her. Yes, this is real. So something like that comes along in your heart and your life and you're scared or something, just say, in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan. You do that. It's real. I don't care what nationality, what culture you come from, it's real in all of them. He hates the blood. He hates when we preach on the blood. Our only hope at judgment is we plead the blood. Lord, I accepted your gift, the blood atonement. There are some things in your heart and your life. I was riding with a deputy one night, and we were called to a place and got there, and there was a young lady outside on the ground rolling around like, I guess we'd call she just crazy. And They subdued her, put her in the back of the cruiser, and I happened to be sitting in the front seat, and she was sitting back there in the cage. And all of a sudden, some weirdest sounds I ever heard in my life. Filthy, filthy. I wish I'd never heard it. It's real. It's really real. You go with me to Nepal tonight, go over to Dubois Square, you can feel it. You just feel it. I was on top of one of the stupas. Is that what they call them, stupas? And all of a sudden, my camera went crazy. I don't know why. Just went crazy. Brand new camera. Canon. Real good news quality camera. In the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan. Don't you ever forget that. I think the second thing is the word of testimony, it says here. The word of our testimony also defeats Satan. If we ever get in trouble, we ought to give our testimony. I want you to know, when I was 14 years old, I walked down the aisle of these Southside Baptist Church in East Lansing, Michigan, and I got saved. I asked Jesus to forgive my sin. I asked Him to come in to be my Savior in the name of Jesus. So that's the second thing we can do. One, we plead the blood. Number two, we give our testimony. Number three, we love not our life. You see that? When we love God's work more than we love our lives, the devil becomes defeated. He knows he can't do nothing about it. So, I die. What if I die? I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. What's wrong with that? I write all the time. Told somebody the other day, what's wrong with heaven? What's wrong with heaven? Told my old friend last night, his wife passed away, and he said something to me, and I said, brother, what's wrong with heaven? He looked at me and said, well, I guess nothing, preacher. I said, no. Talked to another man last year. He also lost his wife. And I said the same thing to him. That's what's wrong with heaven. So you love not your own life. It doesn't mean that you're suicidal. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean you get on a motorcycle without a helmet and drive, 100 miles an hour and on gravel and go kind of nuts and crazy. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you do not love your life. You are willing to give your life to anything God wants. If God calls you to go to Iraq today, or calls you to go to Afghanistan, God calls you to go to Egypt, God calls you to go to the Ukraine, and you know that the problem going on, God calls you to go to the missionary to the Philippines, which is very dangerous today because of the Abu Sayyaf that's going on over there right now. If that's where God calls you, by the way, you're in the safest place you'll ever be when you go where God tells you to go. That's the safest place. And I think there's another one, and that is found in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I believe that's just being able to quote scriptures. Just quote scriptures. The Bible says his word will not return to him. Boy, I was talking to that missionary down in on the Crow Agency. And he said, preacher, I've been here 4 years. He said, we have people and then they leave. They have people and then we leave. You know about that and that whole. We have people leave. And I said, hey, brother, let me tell you something. Did God call you to be there? It may be. That's the only reason I went down to that conference. He said, yes. I said, then. I said, what did God call you to? Build a great big church? I said, I thought the Bible said that Jesus brings the church in. I thought God told us to be faithful. Faithful. You be faithful. You said, but there's, I said, right out there by that door, Dr. Jack Hiles sat next to me and put his hand on my knee and said, Brother Shear, you're an idiot. Tell me something I don't know. He said, you and Mike Haynes How many know Mike Haynes? Mike Haynes tried to build a great big church down by the in North Carolina with the Marines. I think it's North Carolina, South Carolina, North Carolina. And he tried to build a church down there, and every time he'd get going, they'd leave him, you know. He said, "You're an idiot." He says, "You never build a big church here." He said, "Why don't you go someplace else?" I said, "Because this is where God called me, Dr. Hiles." And then I turned to him. I said, "Hey, Doc," I says, "then you tell me, what about these people that come and serve our country in the military that come to Heritage Baptist Church? What about the Reeves kids and the Matthews kids? What about these kids? What about the Ortezes? What about these? What about the Mrs. Hobbs? What about the Rosses and the Rouches? What about these people?" I says, "Hey, Doc," I said, "somebody's got a preacher." "Yes, I know it." He said, "I just think you could do something better." I said, "I think I'm doing all right." "What about the Buells?" Thank God we sent a little note congratulating the Buells on their new baby girl that was born here in Great Falls. Used to be they'd put all the addresses in the front page, on the page where people lived that had a baby. And I had someone that would write a letter and then give them to me, and I'd sign them, and we'd send them all over the town. And the Buells came one day, and his mama got beautifully sick. Now look, what a blessing to have Brother Clyde and Sister April with us. And thank God for every Sunday, he's over in Junior Church. And she's keeping them squalling kids out of here and keep the nursery going, amen. So what if? Well, you just plead. You resist Satan. The Bible says he'll flee from you. Verse 12. Oh, my goodness, I'm past time. Oh, I just got to, just let me run this quick, okay? Here we go. 12. "Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens." And no, I'm not going to do it. I'm done. Let's stand and be dismissed. Some of you are very happy about that. I'm 3 minutes over, and you were sitting there. You know, I should say this.